Fancy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
This program is available on these quality radio services: Replay Radio, Breeze Radio, Talk Radio X, Audioboo, Spreaker, Absence Radio, Nonstop Radio.
Petra, don't forget Pipeline Radio International.
Plus the leading tablets, phones and PCs.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
And welcome to Postcard from Poprad. We are here in the sunshine. It's amazing. Hi, I'm Eric Wiltshire. Glad to have you with us this week. At the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains. Hence we call ourselves Postcard from Poprad. You get it now? No, okay. You don't. And it's your sideways alternative look at the news. Last week described thus. Young man says on Facebook, who needs Newsnight when you've got Postcard? I couldn't agree more. Over there on the zip of the nose of Europe, it's none other than the Bentley Banks.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm all right. How's the car?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for inquiring.
Is it really all right?
It's very fine. The only thing that's happened now is that when we got it, came home, we had a little party for it. It was all exciting. Lots of little cars came round to play. And, went out to go to the off-licence to buy some libation and realised that one of the headlights wasn't working.
What?
Yes, its headlight is now broken.
You broke another thing on it already?
Well, it's only a bulb. It's only a bulb inside its little headlight thing.
Yeah, but Lee.
Yes?
You've
yes.
only had the car back 5 minutes and you broke it again.
I know, I think I'm very clumsy. But anyway, the good news is, right, it's likely to only cost me £200 to have this light bulb changed.
Have you ever thought of buying a castle?
A castle?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it'd be cheaper than your car.
Well, we're going to
rent a castle. How did you say that?
How did I say what? Castle?
Say Windsor Castle.
Windsor Castle.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I'm a Mancunian. I say it right. I've got a proper walk. I don't walk like a Southern Jesse.
Listen to her. Listen to her. Anyway, boys and girls, we would normally be introducing Rachel, but she's had having a well-earned break this week.
Oh, yeah, the poorly little love.
No, but she's had a tough job.
Yeah, she's had a busy time. She's had to do some work.
No. Wrong.
What, she's had to do no work and she's still knackered?
No, she's spent the last 5 days training a new company in the way in which she wants to work.
That's what I said! She's been doing some work!
No.
No?
No. She's been training a new company in the way in which she wants to work.
Well, it's done her a lot of good, isn't it? If she's had to take to her bed because she's tired,
well, yeah.
then she's going to close that company down within a week.
Well, I mean, can you imagine, boys and girls, just imagine.
Yeah,
you go into this office, right?
Yep.
It's your first day.
Yep.
And you are met by 8 Lees as you walk in the door.
Leeds, like dogs?
Eight Lees, as in...
Lees, sorry, not Lees.
Lees. That's, yeah, Lees. Sorry. So there's 8 huge... grey-haired people welcoming you to the building.
Excuse me, can what? I just interrupt about the grey?
Yeah.
We actually do know, and we haven't discussed this for a long time,
right.
It's ash blonde.
Oh, right.
I have it in a bottle.
Yeah. So anyway, you walk into this office with these huge people with ash grey blonde hair, and then you've got to train them. Could you imagine what that would be like?
I'm sorry, that was me having a drink out of my bottle of water. Sorry, ladies. I didn't mean it to be that loud.
I mean, it would be horrendous.
What's she training them to do?
Well, work in the way in which she wants to work in the future.
And how does she want to work in the future?
Not a lot.
That's what I mean. Well done, Rachel. I think you've got it sus.
But I'll tell you what, can you imagine, boys and girls?
Can we just say hello to the lovely Andrea?
Go on, then.
Oh, wait, Andrea, say hello to the wonderful people.
Hello.
Oh, she's so meek and mild.
Yeah, born to be mild.
But, I mean, I'm going to ask you the question now. Quick bit of market research before we get onto the news. Can you imagine, Lee, this is your first day at work, right? New job.
Yeah, not had a new job for decades.
That's a good idea. Now, you walk into the office and you are met by eight of you.
Eight of me? Yeah, well, we'd get on fine. We'd be lovely.
Would you?
Yeah, we'd form a five-a-side football team and go out and play in the pub.
What, with eight people?
Well, yeah, you'd have three on the bench for when people kept passing out drunk. What's wrong with that? Yeah.
We're supposed to be, you know, a public service broadcasting show, you know.
I'm just saying, that's explaining why I've not worked for so long.
Oh, right, OK. Let's move on. Let's get in with some news, because we've got loads to get through this week. There's some great things as well. Absolutely brilliant. Peter Grest has returned home to Australia after being illegally jailed in Egypt. I'm allowed to say that because that's my comment. He's returned to Brisbane, which is wonderful. And Peter's only regret was the fact he had to leave two of his colleagues behind, which is not so good. But I think that'll all come out in the wash. But it did prove one thing, Lee.
What's that?
There is enough people power to make things happen now.
Well, I knew you were going to take that tack on this, and I don't really want to have fisticuffs with you over the air, but it's like...
It'd be like getting it with a wet kipper, wouldn't it?
There is a simple fact to this story, right? And I think we need to really face up to it.
Right.
The prison he was held in is the Torah prison in Cairo, which actually, you know, has actually been painted over the past few weeks while the negotiations have been going on as almost a hotel. And
kind of,
but it isn't. There are 50 people to a cell. There are, if you put into the punishment regime is simple. When you appear in that jail, you are beaten by at least 10 guards for however long you can take it. Then you're chucked into solitary confinement, and a lot of these solitary confinement places have no windows and no way of air getting into them.
Mm-hmm.
This is a place of absolute horror. Now, the point I want to make about Mr. Gresty, and good on him, and nobody's denying him anything that, you know, we're not attacking him in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But the simple fact is, knowing what's going on in the rest of the Middle East, this and the fact that Jordan is now coming to join us and is going to attack ISIS on our behalf, we've actually created a religious war out there, is the fact that this man, Gresty, actually was allowed to do a university course in, I think it was media relations, actually, while he was in this jail. Then he was allowed to come home looking fit and well and smiling and happy with positive views. And this was all, I will go to my grave saying, this was all a PR exercise on the behalf of Cairo in the face of...
Oh, yes. Yeah. I would never dispute that. They were not going to send...
You won't be gone long enough about it, then.
But they were never going to let him go home looking like a stick insect, were they?
Well, why was he allowed to do a university course? Other people were being chucked into windowless, airless cells and beaten up and tortured.
There was a good bit of a brownie point to be won. And that's
exactly.
Yeah, and agreed.
It's quite shameful, actually, and it's sad that nobody's actually picked up on that yet. Because, you know,
I agree with you
a lot about the way the press itself has been vilified over the way it's presented the stories of people who've been captured and murdered by ISIS and other terrorist groups. And actually, in this case, the press have allowed to be presented a false honey coated story about what it was like to be in the horror of Torah prison. Remember, Torah prison was used as part of extraordinary rendition.
Yeah, but don't forget, Lee, at the end of the day, he should never have gone to prison in the first place.
No, absolutely not. And that again, is part of the freedom of press. There's a lot of people around now who think he should have gone to prison just because he was a journalist and telling all these lies about everything that's going on in the world.
A load of rubbish. Anyway, the one thing I will say, which was really nice, there is a lot of... I know he's a bit bitchy sometimes between the different news organisations where they can slag each other off, but it was really nice to see Sky News hooking up with Al Jazeera direct one-on-one and talking about things together as a team rather than as competitors, and I thought that was really magic. And that was really good.
I did.
Do you think that Sky News is actually becoming one of the leading news services in the world today? I do.
I think it's got much... I mean, the joke was, and I've always been behind Sky News since the day they started. And the press, the print media press, really took the mickey out of them for years. And that really just annoyed me because it just showed, well, look, why do you keep going on about them if you're not worried about them? There's got to be something behind it.
There is. I know what it is.
And the fact is that Sky News now has got a very... It's very clever. It's English, but it's international all in one.
It is. And the other...
That's the clever part.
The other clever part in it is this, and they do it better than anybody else within the television industry, is that they are tabloid news and act in, to the basic tenets of tabloidism, of red topism. And that's how they present the news, and that's the sort of stories they go after, and that's why they're successful.
No, I agree with that. I think there are some times when they're a bit too sucky-uppy to the print media. I do really. I think they, you know, all this, what the newspapers say, doing it every half an hour in the morning and every half an hour in the evening.
Yeah, but so does the BBC. The BBC does exactly the same.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's wrong.
So do local. You see, this again, we don't really want to go down this line, but it is the print media is still the most influential part of the media.
It's called lazy. No, this is called lazy.
It's always been done.
Well, it doesn't matter. The media, the television media and the radio media and the online media even in many cases.
I'm going to agree with him. I know what he's going to say.
I've got so many resources these days.
Yeah.
You know, why do they have to be lazy with their programming?
I can explain that. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to agree with him. No, there is a simple fact. Yeah. As we've discussed, only this week I've been dealing with the BBC, trying to get through to various news desks and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, my contacts from the BBC from a decade ago have run out, so I'm looking for new contacts. The one thing you can't do as a person on the street, although as a journalist I managed to do it, is get on and talk to somebody on a news desk.
It's true. Very true.
The stories begin with us, BBC. They begin with us, the people.
Yeah.
But what you can do, and this is to go against the point you've just made.
No, it's not, because I'm going to agree with you that
I've not finished yet. You don't know.
You can contact a newspaper.
Oh, yeah, you can, but isn't the point I'm going to make? The point I'm going to make is that you're quite right. What the BBC, for some inexplicable reason, do now is sit there reading Twitter and taking stories off Twitter. And they also do it on Facebook and all sorts of social. They trawl the net to see what's going on in the world.
Yeah, well,
but then, yeah, absolutely. Then they go to the newspapers to pick up the background to the story so they can actually broadcast something that sounds reasonable.
Mm, well, whatever. They shouldn't do it. They should do their own. They should do their own news. I mean, I know we're just harping on a bit for a minute here, but I remember going into a publisher's in London one day.
Yeah.
And there's all these guys sitting around and they were reading competitive magazines. And I said, what are you doing that for? Oh, we want to read what the other lot's doing. I said, what?
Yeah.
Have you not got the strength of your own conviction? And they went, what? I said, have you not got the strength of your own conviction to write what you think without being influenced by another author? And they went, I said, no. And they said, well, don't you read any other? I said, no, absolutely not.
But, you see, I'd argue against that point as well, because most newspaper people will read... I still read three newspapers a day. And what I'm looking for is because each newspaper has got a different complexion and a different take on what's happening in the world, which is quite a reasonable thing to do. We, you know, we're not just...
We're at cross-purposes slightly.
Here
we are, because what I'm saying is I was a technical editor at the time, and so I would write... comment on the kit that I was supplied. I would say how it worked, how it didn't work, what it did and what it didn't do, blah, 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 blah. And I would stand by my own convictions.
Yes.
I don't need to read what somebody else...
And there have been many of them, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Speeding many times. but, you know, I don't need to know whether, you know, Lee's Satellite magazine disagrees with me or not, because I frankly don't care.
Yeah, but you see, that's what I was saying. We're not at cross purposes. What all newspaper people will read the newspapers because of the different complexions and ways of presenting stories. And also, the one reason for doing it, and the simplest reason for doing it, is to find out if there's something in that newspaper that you didn't know about that subject. Then you extrapolate that and expand it in your
old
own paper.
Old news. Rather than new news. we move on. Otherwise, we bore everybody to death. I fainted at the moment it hit us, says the taxi people, and I quite agree. But I've got to say, I have to say, what an amazing pilot to go that length to try and not have the injuries and deaths that would have occurred had he gone straight down on the motorway.
Well, I agree with you. I think that's right. There was there wasn't really much he could do about it because his one engine had completely.
But by the way, dear listener, we're talking about the Transasia GE235 plane that went down. It's a Taiwanese area, and if you haven't seen what the pilot did, he was just beyond belief, genius.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, he did it. And, you know, when an engine fails out not on a plane like that, there ain't a lot you can do, particularly at that height.
No.
You've got nothing you can do, and he managed to get over the motorway, protected the motorway. I think 35 people died on it, didn't they? I know 35 had died, but we weren't sure if all were going to be found. And it is quite incredible. And the pictures are so dramatic.
Unbelievable. I mean,
well, that makes me want to ask you a question.
Wow.
Again. Whoa. Again, because I'm angry with you.
Oh, no, what have I done now?
You said that we were all us media people like me, were all wrong for showing pictures of the cage that the bloke who was set on fire by ISIS in the cage. We shouldn't have shown the pictures of the cage. Well, on that basis, I would defend our rights.
Not the page. Not page. Cage. Okay. It's the bit that some people chose to do where the man was actually on fire.
Yeah, Fox News did it. Yeah, it was Fox News who did that. Mm. They're the only ones that did it. There were some disrespectful, idiotic internet sites that did it, but it was Fox News who actually carried it. I would defend them for doing it.
Where I'm slightly different on this guy was actually trying to save lives by doing he did. The ISIS people are just trying to murder people, and so that's a different ballpark. And we can't get away from the fact that, you know, this pilot was trying to save lives. ISIS are doing what they do, using their amazing, and I have to say this, they are using amazing modern PR techniques.
Of course
they are. To get their 15 minutes of fame.
But it isn't the 15 minutes of fame that they're getting, is it? They are a war organisation. They are an organisation which have gone
Indeed.
To war.
Yep.
We are at war with them. There is no doubt about it. And you can't pretend your enemy doesn't exist. And you can't hide from your people what the enemy's doing. What I was saying about this picture was this picture is so dramatic, and there are 35 people a few seconds later going to die on that. Why doesn't the world object to that rather than...
Because the man was trying to save lives.
I can see the subtlety of what you're saying. I really genuinely respect what you're saying and understand what you're saying. There are 35 people who are seconds away from death in that, and it's a very dramatic picture. But also is the true horror of what happened to the victim of ISIS. And it just surprised me the way people...
But Lee, I'll tell you what, we're going to move on because we've got lots of things to do. Tesco's.
Tesco's.
God almighty. Tesco's.
Hey, what's their advert? I forgot, we might as well do the advert. You just told the name 10 times.
Every little helps.
Is that what it is? Every little helps when it don't help when you do things like this.
And I've got to say, this has always annoyed me.
He's going to be controversial, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I'm going to be controversial because my father's living over 30 years was running a village shop with a post office, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Now, when Mr. Somebody with his tomato ketchup or his cornflakes or whatever put the product in my father's shop, my father did not charge him to put them on the shelf.
No.
Because he couldn't. Because he wasn't able to.
Is that right? Okay, wait, there was no legislation against him doing that, was there?
Well, no, but you just wouldn't have got any product.
Yes.
They have told you to get stuffed.
Yeah.
So what you have...
Stuffed aubergines, he meant, ladies. Yeah.
So what you have is great big megastores who sit with a supplier and say, right, this is the price we are going to sell your product for. This is the price we're going to pay you for it. Mm-hmm. And the next price is you will pay us to put your product on our shelves, thereby increasing the cost to everybody else. Now, if they were regulated where they couldn't do this, they'd have a very simple accounting system.
Mm.
Buy for this, sell for that, profit in the middle. Oh, no, Tesco's want 2 bites of the cherry. Thank you very much. I want more. And it's not just them, boys and girls. It's all the stores doing it. And don't forget, when they put stuff at the front of the shop,
yes,
there's a good reason. They got paid more money.
That's right. Absolutely.
It's not looking 100%. After you, the customer.
No.
Not at all.
There is a map. Each store has a map to what products should go where in that store.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an incremental basis for that to be used,
yep,
which makes the company money. It is disgusting.
It is wrong. And it's also stopping small suppliers from getting into the main shops. It's also putting small suppliers out of business by doing so. And the sooner the EU says, stop it, the much better it'll be, because everybody will know cost price, sale price, profit in the middle. Absolutely no problem with you getting profit. No argument about that. But at least make it honest.
I know. It's not. I know. Well, this is what really annoys me. We got a phone call yesterday off our central heating oil company.
Mm.
Now, oil is at its lowest, and, you know, there has been a slight increase in it. It was a sort of glitch in oil prices.
Been in the beginning of the week, yeah.
Yeah. So our oil supplier, our central heating oil supplier, phoned us up and said, oh, you better buy some oil now. Oh, look at that, it's going up. You know, it's already gone up by a penny. And I thought, you cheeky monkey. That was the only word I could think of saying.
Yeah.
After we were paying, I can't remember exactly, but I think it was 57p a litre for central heating oil.
Mm.
It tumbled because of the price of oil, not because of the altruism of the central heating oil company, but because of the price of oil. It went down to 30-odd p. Now, because it went up to 32p, or say it went down to 32p and it went up to 33p, they're on the phone using it as a sales pitch. What Tesco's and people like the oil supply companies and mortgage companies all forget that they are actually have been put in charge of the basics of life, food, heat and houses, and they have no right to treat us in this way, to rip us off for the basics of life.
Well, just remember, boys and girls, when you go into the shop, there's two things you should look for. One is called the loss leader. And if you're smart, you shop
around.
He's
a bloke just hanging around the shelves crying.
you're smart. Your loss leader's typically at the front of a store. When you go in, it's the bits that are on sale, special offer to drag you in. You get those.
Excuse me.
And if there are, for example, a brand of coffee, and it's very cheap, you buy 6 jars of coffee. Yeah, you buy 6, even though you only want one. And then you go to the next shop. And the next shop and the next shop. Just go in a little circle around and go home. Have a nice day out. You can shop for at least 20 to 30% less by shopping around, buying all the loss leaders in bulk, so it lasts you a long time. And that way round, you beat the system, because the system is loss leader at the front, suck you into the shop, pay normal price at the back, make profit. That's how it works.
It is, but does that mean it's right?
Nope.
It's wrong. Yeah. And you see, there is the grocery code adjudicator, right? What's her name? Christine Tacon. Tacos. Tacon. Tacon. Yeah,
Take on.
Yeah, Capon. Yeah, she's Batwoman. And she said, right?
Yes.
Yeah. She had a reasonable suspicion that the code had been breached by Tesco.
Right, here we go. Anyway, but, we got squeezed.
Then she says, but there's nothing she can do about it. Why are you talking about it?
No, no, they're all toothless wonders. We've got to squeeze one more story, because believe it or not, we're at the end of part one already.
You won't shut up.
Me? Flipping heck. Anyway, there are some reports around that the legendary singer-songwriter, Dob Billen, is on course for number one with his 36th studio album. Fact or fiction, I ask. And I ask the question because, if I ask Lee the question, what's the answer to the question, Lee? Fact or fiction?
It's facts.
Right. In which case...
That actually means his career isn't.
which I will say fiction for those that have written it, because this very day, before we put the programme together, I checked the official charts, album charts, the Apple ones, the BBC ones, and everybody else, and guess what's not in any of the album charts? Dob Billen.
But he's not come out yet!
He's got no chance.
Of course he... Why has he got no chance? All they're saying is that on Sunday, he will be at the top, the official
so
chart...
So when does it come out, then?
Well, it actually came out yesterday, I must admit.
Thank you.
But...
Thank you.
No, there's a very interesting story about this. Because when you think he's passed the last... I think it's the... This will be his eighth number one record.
Do you know, I think I know what the issue is.
What?
And this is a serious point.
Well, I'm listening.
When you look at the charts, or when you believe these stories, do you look at Billboard?
Well, it's a good point. I don't look at Billboard. No.
No. No, I only look at, from a UK perspective, I look at the officialcharts.com, Apple UK, and the BBC. Because that covers commercial radio, online, and the state broadcaster. Now... Yeah. I have noticed that Mr. Dylan, I'll be nice, has done rather well in the Billboard charts.
He has.
And he does better in the Billboard charts. But when we are a UK-centric radio station, it means that one should be UK, and therefore I check, and his results in the UK charts aren't very good, really.
We've got more listeners in the US than we have in England.
Well, that's true. Sorry. But it still doesn't matter, because we are quintessentially... English.
Yes, I like that. You're a quintessential English rose, dear.
What, you mean the thorns or the red bit? You see, this is what I say. There's a musical taste here where himself does actually appeal rather well, rather like Ozzy Osbourne.
Excuse me, can I just say something before you shut the show down for the first half?
What?
Well, no, it's dead simple. All I'm saying is Bob Dylan is now 73, yeah? He's perpetuated his career now for almost 55 years.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently, through those decades, he has remained at the top and been one of the most influential artists that have ever existed. There is no doubt about that. And in that period, which... he's had at least one number one.
You've done it.
What?
You've run out of time. We'll see you after the ad break, boys and girls. We've got to take a break now, otherwise we'll be in trouble.
Eric, give me a break.
If your dream holiday is 2 hours from the UK, perfect for children and teenagers, young couples and the older visitor, ideal for the physically active and for those who just want to unwind, Aqua City is the destination for you. Described by the Travel Channel as the place that will soon be on everybody's lips. Be ahead of the crowd and the envy of your friends, but still enjoy a home from home. Come to Aqua City Poprad, the world's leading green resort.
Hi, I'm Lewis.
Hi, I'm Chris.
Hi, I'm Nick.
Hi, I'm you.
Hi, I'm Ben.
Together, we are all Train to Game winners.
If you want to join us in the Train to Game Hall of Fame...
and take your first step in a career into the gaming industry...
please go to www.traintogame.com.
That's www.traintogame.com.
If you want to join us in the Train to Game Hall of Fame...
that address again...
www.traintogame.com.